don't have any emotional knee-jerking kind of reactions, but nevertheless, we do need to react to what's going on in the marketplace, but gather the information and then test again. Welcome back to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Jerry Alexander. Now, today, I want to talk to you briefly about a question that I ask myself, and I do get asked quite a lot. How do you know if you're charging enough for your space, for your product? I'm going to come on to that. And I have a few ideas to share and a little to talk about around differentiation. Not that that's the only solution, but it does deserve a bit more in-depth discussion. But just before we get on to that, I want to share that I've actually been out speaking at a few events recently. So I've managed to meet some new listeners or listeners that I hadn't known before. So thanks for coming up and saying hi and for your kind words. I do have to say, I still find it a bit odd though when people come up and say, I just want to say hi, Jerry. Oh, hi. Nice to meet you. I love the podcast. I've actually listened to every single episode and I've never met them before. And it's like, wow, I've not even listened to every episode. You do know there's over 250, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, sure, sure. And then you might move on to somebody else and you start discussing what they're doing and commercial projects and developments they're doing. And then it's like, oh, have you listened to the podcast? Did you know we've got a podcast? And they're like, what podcast? Don't know what you're talking about. Oh, actually, we've been doing a podcast for the last 4 years all about commercial property. And that's actually one of the reasons why I go and speak at these events. Apart from meeting and expanding the network for myself, is just reaching out and letting more people know about the podcast and what we've been doing. So my world tours recently had me appearing in Northampton, London, Holborn, Edinburgh. Yeah, okay, that one doesn't really count. It's just down the road. But I'm soon to appear in Sheffield as well. And I think there's one or two other spaces and places for later on in the year. Now, I know it's not quite rock and roll, but it has been fun. And I love listening to other investors and what they're up to. So my point here I want to say is, if I'm lucky enough to be talking at an event that you're attending, do come up and say hello. It'd be really super to shake your hand and say hi. Right, today, how do we know if we're charging enough for our space or indeed any other product? And I'm not talking just about flex space here. I'm also talking about lease space and different types of contracts. And I have a few ideas to share. So the first thing is check out the competition. It's pretty basic, but it's really important. And where can you do that? Well, a lot of them have online presence where they may or may not list their pricing, but there are online brokers that we've discussed before, and of course commercial agents, local and national, who will list properties and pricing and what's available. Commercial agents in particular like to have a price on there, so it's not very often you'll see something with, you know, application only kind of thing. If it's letting out space, it is important to read into what they're actually, what their headline rate is, and if there's any additional costs like service charges that are hidden in the small print. Often it is. The other place you can find out about competition is obviously doing some mystery shopping, if you want to do that, or you can find someone to do that. And if you're out and about networking, you can ask tenants or clients that are in buildings. I mean, be subtle, of course, but you can ask, can't you? So let's say you're at a networking event. There's somebody there who's based in a certain industrial estate that you've been looking at, or it's near to an area you've been looking at. You can ask questions like, I believe you're on that industrial estate. Yeah, yeah. How do you find it? Well, the location's all right. The traffic's not brilliant and the parking's a nightmare, but actually our unit's pretty good. Or they might say, actually our unit's good, but actually we're growing too much and we need a bigger space now, or the landlord's charging too much, or they don't pay any attention. You just find out lots of different things, as long as you ask the right questions, and as I say, you're subtle about it. And you may be able to find out from them how much they're paying. You know, they're charging too much. Oh gosh, what are they charging? And they may not remember, but hopefully they will, and they'll be able to tell you the square foot rate or whatever it is. And all this little bit, these little bits of information you gather, and you're working out where the competition is placed. Now, I'm not saying you must copy the competition. I'm just saying you go and find out where they're at. So the most important thing for me, though, and for us in our team, is testing. It's all about test, test, test. Try different price points and different product mixes to see where the market optimal point is. That law of diminishing returns, where you're maybe charging too much or looking, seeking too much, and you start losing customers. Because the cost for having a high price generally is a lot of churn. And churn is when people leave and then somebody else comes in and then somebody leaves and somebody else comes in. And that can affect morale, costs, and of course, ultimately your bottom line. But you're trying to find that optimal point. And there's no absolute, but you're trying to push and test until you work out where that space is. The next thing is keep your mind open. Don't get stuck in specific ways of viewing things. So if you have a building right now, you've started letting out, or maybe it's nearly full or whatever stage you're at, and you're trying to work out, you know what, I'm not actually sure if I'm charging enough. There is no black and white to this, okay? But as I say, try having an open mind. Don't be boxed in by what other people think or what the competition is doing. So for example, for us, one of the things that we were a little bit stuck in was we always used to base everything on square foot. So no matter what building you were in, if it was a 100 square foot space or a 1,000 square foot space, and we thought, well, £20 a square foot, so it'd be £20,000 a year. So whatever that is divided by 12 per month, that would be our rate. But actually, what we started doing in some locations is doing a desk rate. And that totally transformed the conversation. I don't think it works everywhere. So industrial units, desk rate's not really going to work. You know, how many people are in a space doesn't really work. Workshop, not quite the same. Office space, it really does work. And that desk rate, how many people you think individuals are going to be in that space, and therefore I'm going to charge for 5 individuals, 6 individuals, whatever it is. And that works tremendously in some locations. But it took a long time to change that point of view and that way of pricing things. So don't get stuck in your specific ways of doing stuff. Right, so let's move on to that differentiation thing, because it's really important. If you can differentiate your offer from the competition, then you can charge a different price. So different ways for you to differentiate. And if you've currently got a building and you've maybe, if you've opened up a new building, often what happens is there's some low-hanging fruit out there. And it's not easy, nothing's easy, but relatively speaking, you can get some clients in quite quickly because they've been out, there's some pent-up demand, they've discovered you, bang, you suit what they need, they're in. But then after that little honeymoon period, you're like, oh, I've still got these spaces, I've not filled them up yet. Now you're going to have to start looking for people, right? And you're going to have to start differentiating and testing and all those lovely things. And the ways to differentiate that we've tried, and you... Let me take a moment to thank Office R&D for supporting the podcast. It's really important to us that we only work with sponsors that we've used ourselves. It's all about being authentic, right? Office R&D is the best flexible workspace platform we've come across. And believe me, we've tried a few systems over the last 20 years. Office R&D helps us manage our invoicing, customer community, reporting, building access, and many more aspects of our day-to-day operations. Why not book yourself a free demo to see how they can help you free up more time to grow your business? Follow the partner link in the show notes. You could think about with your current model is perhaps through personality, whether that is the personality of the brand, the personality of the space, the personality of a person who's doing the viewings. To be fair, all of those things need to be showing the same personality. But nevertheless, does your building currently have a personality? What about the building fabric? Is the building modern looking or maybe slightly dated? What about the interior design in general? Is it feel welcoming? Does the space work? When you bring someone in for a viewing, or indeed when you've got somebody who's taking space, does it actually work for them? Are there parts of the building that are just not getting used? You might have spent, and I'm sorry to say this, you might have spent some quality money on some quality furniture, and actually nobody's flipping using it. It's painful. But maybe actually you need to just redesign that space, try and find somebody who'll buy the furniture, move on, try something else. Because interior design and layout design can really affect how people differentiate your offer from others and how they feel about the space, and therefore emotionally might feel willing to pay more money for it. So it's building fabric and design. And then, of course, the quality. Is the quality of the space high? Does it need to be to differentiate? Or actually, does it need to be the other way? It needs to be more economic, shall we say, and more rustic. Because sometimes building stuff, we've done that in some locations, where we actually build a lot of the furniture, a lot of stuff ourselves. We maybe strip back, and that's not unusual, right? But strip back walls rather than spending a lot of money on them, just putting some quality into some fittings. And then there's size. Does your competition have lots of big spaces and actually the market has got a lack of smaller spaces? Maybe you could focus on that and that becomes your differentiation. Or do you staff your building or not? One of the things we've noticed locally at some of our larger locations, a lot of our competitors have pooled staff. They don't have staff on site anymore. And sure, there's technology there to allow you to do that. And it does cut one of your biggest overheads. But it does remove a bit of personality and it does remove a service that some customers really like. Having somebody there to accept parcels, welcome guests, to be there when there's a challenge or a problem with their room or some of their communal spaces, and they've got somebody they can actually talk to. That can be quite valuable, particularly if your competition doesn't have it. Now, if all of your competition has it, maybe you need to go the other way. Sure. What about extra security? Maybe that's something you can differentiate on, or super fast internet, or community-led. So I guess maybe back to that personality thing. Are you focusing in on building a community so people feel that they're getting something slightly less tangible, but something that's going to add value to their business and their experience on a day-to-day basis? Is it a mix of product types? Another way to differentiate yourself, you don't just have office space, you maybe got some office space and some workspace, or some office space and storage, or some smaller office spaces but shared breakout spaces. It's trying to work out what that product mix should be to make yourself different. And sure, it's not all differentiation for differentiation's sake, but there are certain customer types that will like certain product combinations and certain design qualities and security, etc. And what you're trying to do is look at what's on offer out there and spot the gaps. And maybe another one is just a way to differentiate yourself is actually to be more visible. Maybe it's going out networking, maybe it's the signage, all that stuff. And then, of course, the speed of how you respond to inquiries. Because some... We host weddings. So what we found is a lot of the traditional wedding venues don't reply to inquiries. Not that we're inquiring, but we have people coming to us to view, and that one of the first things they say is, I'm amazed that you've got back to us. Nobody seems to get back to us. And that might be because they're really busy, but actually, if you're trying to differentiate yourself, one of the things to do is just have a rule. If an inquiry comes in, I'll respond to it within 15 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever it is. And that often will make the difference for somebody choosing your place rather than somebody else's. And then all of this kind of fits back to that thing about brand. What do you stand for? That sometimes difficult to put your finger on, but it does include all of those areas I just spoke about in terms of differentiation, from community to how your people interact with people, sure, logos and things, but so much more than that. Building fabric, design, the kind of space that you provide for shared use, etc., etc., etc. All this stuff feeds into brand. And we all know people are prepared to pay way more than they maybe should pay for a specific brand, even though the other one is on the same shelf and is a third of the price or half the price or whatever, and actually possibly even made by the same manufacturer in the background, but it's just the branding's changed it. And the brand is about what you offer. It's not about a logo specifically. So learning to differentiate yourself, I think, will really help with you pushing for that higher price. And I know this topic of this episode is about how do you know if you're charging enough for your space? The only way you're going to know that is just keep testing. It comes back to that. Keep testing, keep prodding. And so just a final note here. Just because someone down the road or someone in the profession says the market price is blah, doesn't mean you have to follow suit. Just because the commercial agent told you it is £15 a square foot doesn't mean that's the price point you need to start at. Because of all those other levers that we spoke about and all those other different parts of the jigsaw, and it might be, sure, £10 a square foot for a large, bland space is about right for the market, but actually a real quality, nice design, community-led space that is smaller in terms of the private units might be 2, 3, 4 times the value to someone. So I've had the luxury of working with lots of developers and investors through our training programs, and I get to see what's happening on the ground on a day-to-day basis. And many times I'm surprised. I see a new operator who doesn't know what they should be charging. We have a conversation about it, we have a look, but they start to let out space at a price level that even surprised me. And it reminds me we need to be braver. So keep testing and keep pushing. And this is why I really like FlexSpace and CMOs under license agreements rather than leases, because you can constantly test and tweak. Because each time the license comes up for renewal, you've got another chance to push and test and go for that optimal price point. And it can take 2 or 3 years sometimes to do that. But don't forget to use the other tools that are there to help drive that price up. Try and shorten that time frame to get there quicker. And that's things like scarcity. Don't offer everything all at the same time. Time-sensitive offers. Sure, sometimes you might have to put an offer out there, but don't leave it open-ended. You know, come back whenever you're ready. Yes, we're here, we'll always be here to offer you space. Yeah, but 6 months later, they're still expecting 20% off or a free month or free whatever it is that you've thought about. Give them time-sensitive offers and do change the offer. Drop the offer. Stop the offer. Because eventually they'll trust you when you do say, here's an offer, and they decide to take it. And of course, the other tool, if you will, is FOMO, fear of missing out. That can really drive people to make decisions, but you need to be in the game for a reasonable period of time to be able to drive scarcity, use time-sensitive offers, build community and visibility so that people have that fear of missing out. And that's what you're working at. And all these techniques can help you get to that high optimal rate as quick as possible. But remember not to react really quickly. Don't have any emotional knee-jerking kind of reactions. But nevertheless, we do need to react to what's going on in the marketplace, but gather the information and then test again. And then gather some more information and then test again. It's actually really quite a fun part of the business. So the best of luck with it. I hope that helps you think. If some of you are stuck right now and you're just wondering, how am I going to get this either to the optimal price or how am I going to fill my space? Hopefully those two different parts there are really going to help you with that. If any of you are struggling, feel free to reach out. We're here to help. Okay, speak to you again on Thursday.